Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Dental Practice Heroes podcast. I am joined today by a repeat guest, someone who I really, really enjoy. It's Dr. Stephen Markowitz, and he's going to talk to us about just what life is like owning multiple practices, how he keeps it together, how he stays on his vision, and how he juggles all the moving pieces of having multiple practices. So it's a really great episode. He is someone that you are going to hear on future episodes as he's going to co-host with me on some episodes coming up, so you will get to hear him again. But it's just a really great episode if anyone's ever thinking about, what would it be like to own more than one? And should I just build that big mega practice, or should I go bigger and try to get something that's really a valuable asset that I can sell one day and just live off that income? So without further ado, let's get to this very special interview.
The Dental Practice Heroes Podcast, where successful dentists share their best systems, methods, and lessons learned to help you achieve early financial freedom through profitable practice ownership. We're here to talk about operating a successful dental business through communication, strong leadership, and by being the hero for your patients and your team.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dental Practice Heroes podcast, where we believe that armed with knowledge and intentionality, anyone can become the hero that their practice needs and deserves. I'd like to welcome my guest. He is a repeat guest. This is the three-peat, third time on, and it's been fun to listen to these episodes. If you go back and listen, I've got Dr. Stephen Markowitz on, and multi-practice owner. I think we had you on when you had two practices, and then we might have had four and five. Now you're up to seven, but welcome back, man. How's it going?
Thanks, Paul. Happy to be here. You always get the most out of my experiences and pull it out of me. I'm just happy to be here, man.
Last time we talked, and if the listeners want to go back and find that episode, a lot has changed. I mean, you've grown and you've learned some new lessons. Usually I'll start off an interview, I'll say, explain from dental school to practice ownership. I think in your case, that's not really applicable. I think people want to go, you went from four to seven or five to seven, or just what happened in the past 2 years? Like, talk about just like your multi-practice journey.
Yeah. So last time we spoke, I think we were at four practices. I've always had this vision of building this group. Started with my father. He had an awesome practice, and we've been lucky enough to build upon it. This past year and a half, we were able to add another two locations. So we're up to seven now. And I'd love to kind of get into reflection of that. The goal has always been to add practices. We had a ton of learning as we went from four to seven in making sure we're intentional with why and how. That's been my biggest takeaway, is if your goal is to add practices, there will be opportunity if you're looking at the right places, but making sure you're understanding exactly where you're going, why you're doing it, will give you the opportunity to actually enjoy the process and not want to hurt anybody.
Well, I think that's great to get into. Like, so before we get there, I got two questions for you. And I just want to hear what your perspective is on this, because you're somebody who's been there and has done it. What do you feel about those people that say, we'll see this on the Facebook forum. We say, hey, I'm thinking about, there's this practice by me. I'm thinking about picking it up. And then everyone gets on there and says, hey, man, multi-practice ain't what it should, what you think it is. Two practices, way more headache than one. Now you've been through this stage of four to seven. We've also heard the thing, okay, well, it's hard until you get past that third or fourth one. And then it gets a little easier. So would you speak to that a little bit, your perspective on multi-practice from somebody who might be looking at it with the attitude of kind of poo-pooing the idea, saying it's not worth it? And then also to the thing of, did you reach a point from going to four to seven? Is there some grace that, or this ease that comes as you push past a certain number?
So I think it comes back to really, what is it that you want to do? From a financial standpoint, there's money to be made in single practice ownership. There is money to be made in multiple practice ownership. Really what you see is going to be the best path for how you want to live your life and how you want to take care of your patients and your team. I have friends that own single practices or are associates in practices, and they have giant challenges and struggles. I know people who own 15, 20, 30 plus practices, and they have struggles. It's really just what kind of problems you want to solve and what you hope to get out of the journey as you're building your business. That's the why. Like, once you're able to understand like really what it is you want to do with your life, every single thing you do will have problems, whichever path you take. I think from a multiple practice ownership standpoint, the more you grow and the further you get away from that doctor to patient interaction, the clearer you have to be on the expectations for your team, for what a patient experience looks like. That's been something that I've had a ton of learning from, is how do I set that? What does clarity mean? Like, I can say that word and be clear, but and think I'm clear, but is the person that's hearing out on the other side hearing what I'm intending to say to them? And I think that's been the biggest learning as we've gone from 4 to 7, because it's physically impossible to be everywhere. So it's more of that indirect level of influence that you're looking to have on your team. It's not directly from me to the patient or me to the team.
What does your hierarchy look like as far as like the dissemination of information and policies? Like, do you have a leadership team around you that goes to the offices? Like, what does that look like for you?
There's a director of operations, there's a regional manager, there's a director of finance, there's an HR manager, there are lead doctors within each office, and each of those offices have a lead clinical office manager, a lead assistant, lead doctor, which, and they meet and then cascade information down from there. That's our structure. Each office has a leadership team, and then that goes to the leadership team of the overarching management company.
And how many people are in that management company, or how many like people directly below you that don't belong to a single practice that are more for like the group?
Yeah, there's 4 that don't belong to a single practice that are direct to me. And then from there, there's our CM manager and a HR manager that will flow up that aren't in a single practice.
Yeah.
Right now we're at like 148 people.
Wow. That's a big team.
Yeah. That's a big team.
Yeah. I used to have more than 40. I'm under 40 now. Just because for some reason the labor market has changed a lot and we're cleaning house a little bit, which is kind of fun. It's that we just had our holiday party and there's some people, most of the people on my team, I know their husbands, I know their kids, but I had to do a little bit of a cheat sheet before our holiday party. I had to take some notes and I had to do some studying. And the team member that was helping me do this, she was almost like, I can't believe you don't know this stuff. And I'm like, I'm just not there that much. I mean, and it's got to be even worse for you because you're barely there. I mean, do you ever show up to a practice and somebody says, who is that guy?
I hope not. I hope not. There are a couple things that I'm like super intentional on. Anytime a new person is hired to our group, I will make sure that they get a phone call from me. I introduce myself. They have my cell phone number. I will tell them that we're excited to see you. If there's ever anything that I can do to help or you have questions about what's happening, please feel free to reach out to me directly. And then anytime there's a review in any of our offices that has one of our team members named in the review, I'm sending them a text. I'm celebrating that. So those are the 2 things. I make sure I have everyone's cell phone contact number so that maybe I don't get to spend a lot of time with them, but at least I have the ability to celebrate their wins and welcome them to the team and do all that.
I love that. I mean, talk about like the difference between, let's say for you do coaching as well, and I have coaching clients and we'll talk to somebody on the phone. We'll say, hey, this is, they'll bring the problem to you and they'll say, hey, what should I do? You tell them what to do. They go in their practice and do it. Where it would be different if I was in the practice, in my own practice, it's a lot more easy for me to implement change in a practice I'm in. What is that contrast to you being the overarching owner of 7 practices and not really being a day-to-day in a certain office in trying to implement change?
Ever since we started using Relevance Online Marketing, I could see a drastic improvement in our SEO. I mean, we are ranking so much higher when searching for dentists in our hometown. We are seeing more new patients and certainly someone you should give a look at if you're considering new marketing companies.
Just absolutely awesome. I would recommend Relevance to any practice owner who wants to see what proper marketing can do for their office.
I want to thank Dr. Paul Etchinson for introducing me to Relevance Marketing. They've done a great job, very thorough. I'm happy with the results. Thank you guys for all of your help.
We never truly realized how powerful this could be. It's really changed our business for the best.
I think they're definitely worth every penny. Easy to communicate with, easily accessible. does what I ask and even shows me some reports when things are going a little bit off track and what they're doing about it. You know, it's just a level of service I just haven't really received from other marketing agencies.
Since we've been using Relevance, we've seen a tremendous growth in our business. I would recommend their services to just about anybody. Search engine optimization and getting your ranking on Google to be the highest it can possibly be. The efforts by Relevance and their team, and the efforts and the things that they've done with the SEO, as well as the social media. Highly recommend it.
So what are you waiting for? This is Dr. Paul Etchison telling you to get a free consultation with Relevance. As a listener of the podcast, you get the first month free, and there is zero obligation to continue if you aren't blown away. Make this the year you grow your practice to the next level. Go to RelevanceOnlineMarketing.com to set up a free consultation. That's RelevanceOnlineMarketing.com.
That's a big challenge. I may see based on the data or based on information that I'm getting from someone within the office, and I may think I have the answer. The challenge is the person that's on my team, are they going to be receptive to the information that I'm sharing? Whereas someone as a coaching client, they're coming to you or to me and saying, this is a problem. Can you help me fix this? Where in my team, they may not even be able to clearly see the problem as well as I can see it. And they may not be willing or ready to hear the information on how to fix it. If it's not painful enough for them to want to fix it, and I'm just telling them that there's an issue, they may almost resent the information that I'm sharing and not feel like I'm doing it for their best interest. So that is, and especially as we grow, I need to make sure that that relation is strong enough so when something isn't right, we can go and have a real conversation. I can say, like, listen, Paul, like, this is what we expect. This is how it looks now, or this is how I see it looking now. How do we solve it together? Or how can I help you know that we want to do it differently? And I think that's been our biggest learning as an organization is it's easy to diagnose issues. It's hard to actually get the people, the team to say, like, this is a big enough issue where I'm going to change my behavior because our practices are really busy. And we need to change. We need to take a second and say, all right, I'm going to do something differently today. And when I do something differently, it may hurt a little bit. And they need to feel that pain enough to want to make that change. And that's, I find that easier with someone in an owner seat or a doctor who is willing and acknowledging like something hurts and I want to do something differently.
Yeah. In your case, like when you buy a practice, you're doing mostly acquisitions, right? I think you had one de novo.
Yep.
So mostly acquisitions, and you're going in there and you're saying, how do you change processes and change the way that you do things if the team is saying, the reason I'm asking this, because I think this is applicable to anyone who's did an acquisition. I think this is anyone who's, no matter what practice owner, like, hey, I want my team to do something differently. But they might look at it and say, we've been doing it like this for years. Why do we have to change anything? How do you make them see it's a problem? Because you know it works.
Yeah, that is another awesome question. So first, you need to be able to have that relationship. You need to be able to spend time with the new team and say, like, I'm here to help you. What I have found is that if we go in and say, these are our 10 systems, and this is how we're going to do it, and this is the MFD way, then they're going to be like, F the MFD way. That doesn't make any sense. But if we present it in a way of saying, like, this happened the other day, we have all these new patients that are calling, but we have no place to put them. They've been resistant to any block scheduling or anything like that before because they've never done it. That's just a perfect opportunity to say, I know we've talked about this before. I know you've heard me say it, but there are ways that we can block schedule or we can have a conversation with a patient, tell them we're going to put you in April, but now let me look at the schedule and see if I can move some things around for you and see if we can get you in earlier. That opportunity just to have a discussion of like, okay, this is painful enough for them to bring it to me. Now let's see if I can present an alternative to what was not working and something I know will probably have a better outcome. And then it work. And then they'll say, okay, all right, that new patient thing worked. That's kind of cool. What were you talking about with the scheduling in the back? What was that about? And then we start to get that momentum. And you and I have talked about momentum a lot in the past. Like once you have that momentum, which takes a while to get, but once you get it, hold on, because it's going to take care of itself. And you just got to now manage momentum as opposed to manage change.
Yeah. And that's what I see a lot of my coaching clients is like, they will reach a point with their team and implementation that the team starts saying, gosh, you know what? This stuff is working. And what else is not working here? And what can we come up with? And then when that light bulb comes on, man, it's off.
The next step in that is once you've kind of gotten yourself in and they see you as someone who's genuinely there to help, now you got to create a platform for them to share issues, to talk openly and provide that back and forth. We don't come in and say we're going to have meetings, but once they've given, like, you see that opportunity to have that type of discussion, now we need a platform to say, like, all right, these are the things that aren't working. These are the things that are working. And now we have a back and forth where they can continue to share so that we can foster that momentum and just have it blossom.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you had advice for a practice owner that's saying, like, not somebody that's in their practice and they're trying to change maybe the front desk or something, maybe they like, well, yeah, this block scheduling, like you mentioned, yep, like the team member coming to you and saying, hey, this is a problem. What if they don't see the problem? Do you wait for it?
The front desk?
Yeah. Is there a way to like,
yeah, push that problem? Of course, 100%. If you just sit, give yourself a half hour and sit at a place where you think there's a problem in the office. If you think it's at the front and you're like, oh, I know my team members are not answering the phone properly. Just put yourself in a position to find an opportunity to help. There are issues in every single practice, in every dental practice in the entire country. So if you want to implement change, I would recommend, instead of coming in and being a top down and saying, this is how we're going to do it, you guys go do it, and then having them not be able to live up to your expectation, I would say go in and go from the bottom up. See what it is for yourself. You're seeing the outcome, the result of poor scheduling or not enough new patients or whatever it is, but go in there and actually find the source of the issue, see it for yourself, and then be able to help the team and coach them in the moment. For us, we talk a lot about what's the difference between teaching and coaching. Teaching is me sitting here and giving a presentation and everyone in the audience saying, oh, that's not me. I can't believe that someone else would do that. Yeah, I remember when Steve did that. He does that all the time, but that's not me. Coaching is like, we take those teaching moments that we talked about as a group, and then we apply them in the moment and say, remember when we talked about that new patient stuff? This is exactly that opportunity. This is how you responded. But think about it from this perspective. Have you ever thought about this approach? And then you can coach them into saying and have the ability to actually make change and influence that person. And then they're going to see it and know how much you care. And then once they know how much you care, like that adage says, then they'll keep coming, and then you can work towards that momentum.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great advice, man. So talk about last time you were on here, going up to 4 practices, now up to 7. Over this course from having your first single practice to adding the second practice to now, how has your vision changed as far as like what you want to do and what you want to have your hands in and what you want to just own?
For me personally or for the organization?
Let's do you personally first. Okay. I want to really kind of draw out like, why would somebody want to own? I feel like multi-practice just gets crapped on all the time lately.
I thought it was the cool, sexy thing to do.
Well, I think it's the cool, sexy thing to do. Everybody wants to do it. But then anytime somebody sticks their neck out there and says, I think about doing it, everyone's like, no, don't do it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say like your original vision compared to like where it is now for like what you're doing with your ownership.
It's funny that, so I go back to when I originally made myself a little PowerPoint of like where I wanted to go. And actually, it's very similar to where I want to go still. What happened along the way was I kind of got lost in the day-to-day. In any practice, in any group, there's issues. So if you kind of lose sight of where you're going along the way, you're just a fireman putting out fires. And that's exhausting. And then you sit there and be like, man, I feel like crap. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this before we got on. Like, we had a great year last year. We produced more dentistry than we ever have. We added more team members than we ever have. We did over $20 million in dentistry. And I sat there at the end of the year and being like, that year sucked. And I remember talking to my wife and she was like, what the hell are you talking about? You did everything you wanted to do. And really what happened was it was just a loss of focus. And being able to realize that, and that was definitely humbling, realize that like, man, I lost focus of where we wanted to go. And I was making decisions based on just putting out fires as opposed to pushing the direction of the vision. That led to not enjoying the ride. So the best thing that I did this year and what actually is giving me a ton of energy and excitement for what we're going to do in 2024 is I went back to that original vision. I said, is this something that still is important enough for me to pull me through all the crap the day to day? And am I clear enough on where I want to go that I can share it with my team and they can see it just as clearly as I can so that they know what decisions we're going to make? So for us, it's 10 to 11 practices. We're at 7 now. We know over the next 5 years, that's where we want to go. That doesn't mean that's our end point, but for the next 5+ years, that will dictate decisions we're going to make. So we're in Massachusetts. I'm probably not going to go buy a practice in Connecticut. That doesn't fit with the type of decisions that will lead us to where we want to go. I have an infrastructure for centralized functions, but I don't have a ton of centralized functions because we don't need that for 10 or 11 practices. But if my team thinks that we're going to 50, then they may make different decisions along the way too. So I think from a goal setting standpoint, it's so important that we know the exact direction and are able to paint that vision so clearly, not just for ourselves, because that's important, but also for our paint it clear enough so our team can see, so that they can share with their teams. And that ultimately the patient experience is so much better because everyone's on the same page rowing together and they know exactly where we're going.
Yeah, that's an awesome answer, man. Do you have any regrets about where you're getting? Or is there any regrets that you started this machine?
Hey there, dental heroes. This is Dr. Dune from Colorado Surgical Institute. And I wanted to let everyone know that we have some awesome developments for our June 6th through 8th course. First, you know, we're going to be doing our full arch course, the whole photogrammetry, lateral sinuses, block grafting, you name it, with anything complex. We're going to be doing that with the entire digital workflow. And I'm also thrilled to introduce our pterygoid and zygoma experience. We have Dr. Riyad Al-Masri coming in. He is a phenomenal surgeon. He does very complex surgeries, and he's amazing to the point where he can explain and teach while he does these live patient surgeries on nasally intubated patients. And so we're going to have an observational day where you get to come and watch one of the best surgeons in the world do his thing here, and that's going to be on June 5th. Please reach out to us and call and text 970-420-6148. Ask for Chris Richards. He's going to be our director of the program, and he will help get you set up for anything that you're interested in.
It's evolved along the way, meaning when you're just getting going and just setting up your infrastructure, and it's super exciting and it's new and you're tinkering things and trying things out, and it gets to a point when it's more of a operations-led process. And that, I think, has led me to need to be a different type of leader. When it was smaller and we were just trying stuff and we were building this, like, it could be much more inspirational. And I had the ability to have a lot of direct contact with a ton of people on my team. And as we've gotten to a point where we are now, the systems and the processes that we have in place need to build upon the culture that we're trying to create. I didn't see that happening. I don't know if it's a regret, but I didn't see that I need to now have systems in place that live our culture. Like, I'll give an example of that. We have a wellness. I hope that we're taking really good care of our team. It's something that I feel really strongly about. We have a system that we put in place last year where every team member 6 times a year gets what we call a wellness perk. They get $50 to go out and spend on themselves, however that may be. It may be that they want to get their nails done, maybe a massage, maybe a bike helmet. I don't know. But that system is a way for us to show that we care about everyone's well-being. Where it used to be, we were just in the practice and we could say, Paul, you did a great job today. Go get a massage. Mm-hmm. We've gone to the point now where we need to have systems that represent who we are in addition to us showing that we care. Mm-hmm. That's been something that I did not expect. I could not see that when we started.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it just speaks to the, I think we're always like begin with the end in mind and all this, and think we're supposed to be so forward thinking. I think a lot of that's just unrealistic. I mean, you're going to react to things and you're going to change and new things are going to come up. And and you react and you pivot and you solve problems.
Yeah, I do agree with that, as long as the destination isn't changing. I think that's, for me, where my biggest learning is like, if we're saying we want to go to 10 to 12 practices, we can't be making decisions like because of an issue that we're having, like we're going to get to 50 practices. We may need to pivot and like take a detour on the road, if we're going to use that metaphor, but we better make sure we're going back to that original direction, or the team is not going to have a clear understanding of why we're making decisions. And without an understanding of the why, they're not going to be able to buy in fully.
Now, would you say like this is like kind of like being a proactive approach of like, this is where we're like going, versus how when you were maybe feeling a little bit of burnout, you know, you didn't say that exactly, but putting out fires,
you did.
Reacting.
You did.
Yeah.
What was the question, Paul? I'm sorry.
No, I would say like, how do you move from that reactionary point where you're putting out fires and just get back to that? And you mentioned that it felt different, but like, how did you make that mental switch?
I needed to get outside perspective. I needed to ask people like you of like, all right, this is what I'm feeling here. What are your thoughts? I think outside perspective is amazing because they don't have any biases and they can have a clear thought without any influence of the day-to-day. It took time. And I think a lot of dentists and a lot of business owners don't take the time to really sit and reflect. I took a month of really taking at least an hour a day and just writing notes of like, what do I want? What do I want this to be? And making sure it gave me enough strong enough feeling to deal with it, to deal with some of my feelings of burnout. I think when you say burnout, to me, burnout is just an absence of joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you've had people on your podcast where we've talked about like, there are people who love what they do and they're doing it for 150 hours a week and they could wake up the next day and like, let's go do it again. So it's not the amount of time you're spending doing something. It's just, am I enjoying what I'm doing? And making sure that having time to process where it is that I want to go, making sure that I know that I'm doing the things that I want to do, and then creating the path for me to sit here a year from now and say, that was hard work, but I'm proud of what I was able to accomplish because I kind of created the path of where I wanted to go. Maybe not exactly, but the overarching theme of like, I am proud of what I accomplished this year, I did.
Yeah. It reminds me of a story. We had a meeting just a few weeks ago and I was talking about, hey, 2024, what we're doing is we're getting back to basics. We're going to do like, hey, we're going to get through the checklist. This is how we do a patient checkout. Just standardizing. Cause I feel like there's just a little bit of who does what, and we just need to designate roles a little bit better and just get a little more clarity. And I was saying all this stuff. And then this new team member, she's only been on the team for about a month. She goes, well, I just want to say, like, you're making it sound very unorganized here. Like, she's like, this practice is the best place I've ever worked at. I've been in dentistry for 30 years. I have never seen a place more organized. And it was just like, well, then, yeah, there's some clarity. There's some perspective there. Like, it's, you get so wound up in just looking at those negatives. And my question to you, being seven practices deep on this, I'm putting myself in your shoes, and I'm thinking I would struggle to turn that off at home, because I struggle to turn off one practice at home. And if I had seven with issues, because they always have issues, I mean, there's always someone we can improve on. How does that work into your life? Is there a way that you can shut it off? Are you built different? Like, if somebody's like, oh, this guy's different, he just can handle it, he's not like me. Or is this something you've learned to cope with? What is your perspective on that? What would you say about that?
We have a therapy session at home.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
How did that make you feel?
That's a great, great question. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that one. I know that I don't do a great job of turning it off. I struggle unwinding. I have tools that I'm trying to teach myself to be better with that. That is a constant work in progress. I wake up every morning. I try to make sure the first thing I do is not touch my phone. So my morning routine is, it's important for me to show my wife how much I love her. This is going to be corny for a sec, but you were having a therapy session. Let's go.
Let's do it.
So I have to acknowledge her. I have to acknowledge her in some way. She sleeps a lot more than me. So it may just be like, I got to just touch her on her shoulder. And that's the first thing I do. And then I know something that I'm trying to improve with myself is my approach to life. I want to make sure that I'm excited for the day. So before I even get out of bed, I go, I'm excited for the day. I just tell myself that I'm excited for the day. And then I can go to my phone and look at the schedule, and little things like that will help me try my best to be present when I'm with my team or when I'm with my patients or when I'm with my family, because I know that if I'm not present for where I am, nobody benefits from that. The patients don't get the care they need. The team doesn't get the attention they need. And ultimately, I'm not getting what I say I want out of the journey that I'm living.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. And it's just a perspective switch and it's mindset. It reminds me of me telling my wife, saying like, we are 45 people at the practice. And I said, gosh, sometimes I wish we'd just go back to it when it was just 8 of us. And man, it was so, and she goes, why? I go, because it was so much easier then. I didn't have as much stress. And she goes, you're full of shit. Like, you had just as much stress back then as you did now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I think you're right. When you speak of everyone's got problems, I mean, has that been your experience? Like, even though like it should seem larger, it's still just the same. Same old shit.
Yeah. To get back to like the original question of like when people ask about going down the multi-practice route, every single person I've ever spoke to has problems. So you fit the problems into your life. Like, everyone's going to have them regardless of what path they choose. So 100%. As I've gone through this, trying to make sure that understanding of my mindset, my wife tells me this all the time, it is a choice. So if it's really a choice for me to be positive and me to be excited, then I can control it. And that's something that doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean I win that every day. But I do think that for us to be able to put things down or put into perspective, you need to be able to control it. And if you know that it's a choice, then it is.
Yeah. This reminds me of, we had two team members, two assistants just walk out one day. Just walk out the day before a new doctor started.
Yeah.
And same thing. It's like my positivity, my joy might will be a choice. But for 3 days, that was a really hard choice to make. And I just came to accept it. I said, you know what? This is going to be fine. I know it's going to be fine. It hurts right now. It's going to feel better tomorrow. It's going to feel better the next day. Just get through it. This was the first really painful thing for me that I wasn't like MFing, like just being pissed. I was like, you know what? I'm upset. I don't feel good about it. But it's going to be okay. And I got to get through it. But yeah, I couldn't switch it. I wish there was a way to switch it and just be like, just be happy. It's that easy.
One of our core values is positivity. And that doesn't mean that we're sitting there dancing and jumping up and down and being super happy every day. For me, positivity is like, I promise you there's going to be crap that happens, but we're going to get through it. I promise. And we're going to look through how can we do it together and get to the other side and say, man, that was hard, but we did it together. Let's go.
Wow.
That's positivity to me. I think that when you have experiences like assistants walking out or a tough patient experience or we didn't hit our goal or whatever it is, that is inevitable. It is part of what we signed up for when we open our eyes in the morning. So to know that we're going to do it and get through to the other side and still be there to talk about it, you think you've had a podcast on this, that itself is positivity. And that's going to lead to us building resilience with ourselves and with our teams to get through any challenge that we may encounter.
I love that you say that because I think you're right. And actually, that was kind of an aha moment for me, is because we think positivity is supposed to be happy all the time. It doesn't mean that bad stuff's not going to happen. It just means we got to have the outlook that it's going to be okay. It's not catastrophic. And that's what I
think. Yeah, we're going to get through it. Unless it really is going to be the end of our business, we're going to get through it. And we may look a little different on the other side, but if we're able to sit here and we're to learn from something crappy, let's go back and build it better. That's how I see positivity. And that's where I think that our team has been able to build a lot of resilience through any of the challenges that we face on a day-to-day basis.
Can you think of an instance in maybe the past few years of with a single practice where maybe you want to share something big that happened and what you guys did and how you handled it, how you attacked it and changed it?
I can do this morning. That wasn't on the past few years.
I could do this morning.
Well, it wasn't on the pre-reads, Paul.
Yeah.
So our January was a monster month, the most dentistry that we've ever done, which is cool, something we should be super proud of. One of our offices had its best month ever as far as amount of dentistry completed. However, the goal that we set for the month was higher than it ended. So the manager I sat with this morning and the team, and they were feeling pretty down about like, we didn't hit goal. And then we took up the graph of every month of production that we've ever had. I sat with the manager this morning and I said, you're right. We didn't hit goal. There are definitely some things that I know that we could have done differently and probably had a different result. However, I need us to take a look at this for a sec, because a year ago at this time, there was no way in heck we would have thought we could have done this much dentistry in a month. Mm-hmm. And let's sit there and say, you know what? We didn't get to this arbitrary goal that we set for ourselves this month, but we did do X, Y, and Z. And next month, if we do the same thing, then we can be upset. Like, then we can say, like, yeah, we should have done a better job collecting up front so that patient showed up to their appointments. Or we should have made sure that we had signed treatment plans. Or we should have looked at the specialist schedule so that we could have ensured that they had fuller days. Sure. But we're going to list all these things and we're going to work on them. And next month, we're going to have a full schedule. We're going to hit goal and we're going to be able to celebrate something that we should have been able to celebrate this month because it was our best month that we've ever had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was this morning.
It's so true. And it's good that you notice that and that you can recognize that and bring that to the team and so that they recognize that too.
Yeah. When you have close enough relationship with the managers or with your team or whomever, you can tell, you're like, what's going on? Like, why are you not feeling as excited as I think you should? And then we can have that dialogue of open dialogue of like, this is where I feel like we went short, or this is where we're not living up to our expectations. And then as long as we're taking that and putting it to the better use of the team and have better patient results, it's not going to be the straight line. We'll get where we want to go and we'll take the detours, like you said, that we need to get there.
I'm just curious, what's a typical work week look like for you? Do you have a day off? Do you take Fridays off?
No.
No.
Not right now. Not right now. No. I haven't read your three-day week.
You know what? I was just asking you that. I couldn't even remember what day it was. Because I've been off for two weeks. So it's like,
Yeah. Okay. It's where I am on the journey right now. I really enjoy what I do. I get excited to be able to go into a dental practice and meet with the teams and see the patients and see how busy the practices are and try to find solutions to make that patient experience better, make that employee experience better. I'm loving it right now. There are times where I'm like, this is a little too much. I don't think that we're where I know we can get to. So I don't feel like I need to like take a day off, like take it. I obviously need to recharge, but I don't feel like I need to cut back my schedule yet because I have my team. I'm lucky enough. I have a super dedicated team that is energized and ready to go. So I don't know. That's corny, but that's how I feel right now.
But do you ever have a point where it's like, that's good enough. I'm good for that. That's what I wonder.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I have a business coach or a life coach or whatever. I would met with him on Monday and he said this quote to me that really resonated. He said, excellence is only as good as what people can see. That was the quote. That was like this aha moment for me of like, if my vision of excellence is not clear enough where my team can see it and I'm not able to show that to them, then the expectation for me is not going to be something that they'll be able to meet. I'm not painting that picture of excellence clear enough. So with that, your question was like, do I ever turn it off, right?
Yeah. Well, is it ever good enough? Do you ever reach a point
where ever good enough? Is it ever good enough? Yeah. Sorry. So the answer to that is, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that because I don't think that we're there yet. Like my vision of excellence isn't clear enough for myself. So good enough is to me is I want to be excellent, but I always know that there are practices like yours that are doing it amazing, even better. So let's go there. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I know that we can continue to be better. And I think if I thought we were there, I wouldn't be doing my job for my team. My job is to make sure that we're continually growing. And there's no such thing as a perfect dental practice.
I like that you say that continually growing versus fixing the broken things.
Yeah. So that was a long-winded way to me to get there. You can edit that out.
No, we're not editing anything. We can't afford an editor. No, I do have an editor. But we're not going to edit anything. This is great, man. I'm a big champion of doing anonymous surveys. And I've learned how not to do these, just if anyone's wondering. The way not to do these is to tell people what they say, to bring things you found out from the survey to the person that is being complained about. So don't do that.
Yeah.
But they're great for, I think, for one person to see and for me to see. And I think there was a certain point in my practice career where just dealing with burnout, I stopped doing them. I didn't stop doing them because I didn't think they would help. I stopped doing them because I didn't want to know what they were going to say. Because I reached a point of, this is good enough. It's never going to be perfect. And if I put these out here, I'm going to have more problems and more things I'm going to address and dwell upon. So I didn't put them out. We just did an anonymous survey about a month and a half ago. And some of my team was like, why are we doing this again? I thought we weren't doing this anymore. And I said, I just want to know if there's any blind spots. And lo and behold, there was a few, but by and large, my team likes working at my practice a little bit more than I think give them credit for sometimes, because yeah. I can only see that little spot that I want to improve on. So I like what you said, the improvement, it's about constantly improving. But yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
That's a blessing and a curse, because it's the drive that keeps you going, getting up in the morning, but it's exhausting to only see problems all day. It's important for me. And when we talk about mindset, it's like, my nature is to only see problems. I wake up and I'm going to see it. After a while, that will beat the crap out of me. So I need to make sure I'm putting myself in a position to also celebrate all of the good things that we're doing and take time to reward the people who are working really hard to make sure that we're doing the things the right way. So as long as I take time to focus some time on celebration and acknowledge things that we do really well, I can still let myself get lost in some of the issues, because that's, for me, naturally where I go, and know that nothing will ever be perfect, like you said. So how do I make sure that I'm still able to enjoy the ride? Because that can beat you up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, one final question before we go, man. I didn't want to go into our question rounds because I just felt like we were riffing. It was just great.
Yeah, sorry, bro.
2024, nothing to apologize
for. Yeah.
But this is great. 2024, what would you say going forward? What is the one thing that you got planned this year that you're just super excited about as far as professionally?
I think the one thing that I'm most excited about is that I feel re-energized. And I feel excited to be able to share that energy with my team. Like, I think even going back the past couple of years, like, dentistry's been more exhausting than it ever has been.
Yeah.
It's always been a tough profession. So being able to take the time to sit and really understand where I wanted to go this year and get excited about it, and then say, like, all right, guys, this is where we're going. This is how we're going to improve our communication. This is how we're going to improve our estimates. This is how we're going to improve our relationships with insurances and coding. The thing that most excites me about that is, like, I feel really good about where we're going. And I don't know if I would have said that as clearly a year ago today. And I have a lot of people on my team to thank for that. And I'm excited to say that out loud. I don't know if I have.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, dude, Steve, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I mean, this was a great episode. I know there's, gosh, everyone listening to this, it had just got a lot out of it. Thank you for being so vulnerable
and sharing
your experience. And gosh, just a pleasure to know you, man. I got a lot of this personally. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, anytime, man. I really appreciate it. You do, every time we got a chance to talk, I really appreciate it. You do so much for the dental community, and I'm glad I could be just a passenger on the ride. Thank you.
Were you one of the lucky dentists that got a tax surprise this year? Nothing like thinking that you have more money only to get that wiped away by a tax return. Or are you wondering why you are driving blind all year long, not knowing what your expenses are, what they should be, or how they compare to other dentists just like you? Enter Bull Moose Financial, a full-service accounting firm to handle your payroll, bookkeeping, tax compliance, tax returns and filings, as well as tax planning. And by tax planning, I mean knowing what you're going to owe well before the year is even over. I'm Paul Etchison, and I endorse working with Bull Moose. They were my CPA for many years, and if you want a responsive dental-specific CPA that will free you up from the burden of bookkeeping, payroll, and be attentive to your special needs as a dental practice owner, go to bullmoosefinancial.com. That's Bull, B-U-L-L, moosefinancial.com. Mention the Dental Practice Heroes podcast, and they will waive your $2,000 onboarding fee. So sign yourself up, and rest assured you know your CPA is doing all they can do to help and support your dental practice.